big old can. Good times, unwind, falling and out of love in the same dollar. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares.
Welcome back to the Jeff Bull Show on FM Talk 106.5 as we await our next guest. Get to some of your texts, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Coming up tomorrow, by the way, here on FM Talk 106.5 with Todd Stacey and some guests to be named later. But just a real quick programming note, shortly thereafter this program wraps up, you get Sean Sullivan. Sean hosting here in this, at the State House today as well, so you'll get some more state politics. It was supposed to be school choice day, but it sounds like school choice day got derailed in committee, and Donnie Chesteen, the state senator for Geneva County, has moved it to the ETF committee, where our friend Arthur Orr is the chairman. So we'll see. As Senator Stutz says, it sounded like a stall tactic. To the text line, it's working in Mississippi. Talking about gambling. I just culturally, though, there's a resistance to it culturally. And I look, guys, you can say separation of church and state all you want, but churchgoers still vote. They still vote, and they don't want to see, especially in the form that was proposed the last couple of years, gambling come to Alabama. I mean, here's the problem, and all you guys on the text line need to remember this. Don Siegelman tried to get a lottery in Alabama, and he failed. Do y'all remember that? Do you remember the special election? He failed. It should have passed. People did not show up at the polls to vote for it. And it failed. And after it failed the first time, I mean, getting a second chance at it, pretty tough, especially when you had Republican governors ever since Siegelman. And you have a lot of reasons it failed, and we could talk about why it failed. But I think trying to do an election, and it was November or something. It was cold outside. I remember voting in that election. Just not going to work. You have low turnout, and then you had a very motivated anti-gambling contingency that said no. So, That's another hurdle you got to overcome. Fire Dog writes, I'm not sure why one rep could get up and say we need to build prisons. Not one rep could get up and say we need to build prisons. And why? Cowardice is the face of the enemy is what we call that, the military. I think a bunch of, to be honest, Fire Dog, I can tell you what it is. You have several members of the legislature that will do that. It's just not something the governor seems to be interested in. And the governor's always very, very coy. She's not really revealing what they're thinking ever on any of these policy issues. And if you do confront her, you do ask, you get kind of some kind of happy talk, or you get a couple one-liners. You don't get policy specifics typically from the Ivy administration. So that's the problem. But the two mega prisons that are struggling to get off the ground throughout the state, they're not going to be sufficient. They're going to be full the day they open. So, yeah, you need to start thinking about a third one. We're not even having that discussion yet. And the discussion's one thing. It's like the bridge y'all want over over the Mobile Bay. When did that first start being discussed? And now we're still sitting here with no bridge, but how many years will it take to get it to go? We hadn't even entered the preliminary discussions phase. So I think you need to start addressing this now, but there does not seem to be any interest, any buy-in from the executive branch. Paul says, I don't have to read something. John writes, it's incredible that Ainsworth talks about what great shape we are in financially, and yet state officials can't fix the prison system and make us safer. What are the religious voters going to vote for religious officials that are not corrupt? And then he adds, most places where it failed it got a second chance to pass it. Talk about gambling. Well, on the prison system question about Ainsworth and that, I think people don't know when they vote for somebody that they're corrupt. I mean, let me tell you something about this town. I mean, it takes people that can make them corrupt. They get a little bit of power. I mean, that happens at any level of government, county, city, federal, and state. But maybe they don't set out to be corrupt. So I don't know you could necessarily blame voters. Voters are obviously duped sometimes. But the problem with a lot of these state elections, and it's a problem at the federal level too, I've said it over and over again. We could go back to 2022, and the Republican primary had what, 30-something% turnout? Well, in Alabama, everything is settled in the Republican primary. You get the Republican, you win the party nod, you're going to probably win your office unless you're in certain parts of the state. But generally speaking, that's the deal. Well, the public just doesn't seem to be interested in politics at that level. They're more interested in the national politics. They're more interested in what Tucker Carlson's future is. They're more interested in what Liz Cheney's doing. Are the weird transgender nuclear experts' baggage? I mean, you know the talking points. Anyway, so that being said, they look at state politics, a lot of voters, as small potatoes. It's not interesting. It's not compelling. It's not important. Well, what happens in Montgomery doesn't impact my 401k. I'm just not going to bother with it. It's too confusing. You had a candidate for U.S. Senate and Mike Durant to said exactly that. That it had turned out that he had not voted in a Republican primary in, like, ever. He had voted in general elections but never voted in a Republican primary. And finally somebody confronted him on it. And he said, look, I just don't keep up with that stuff. I'm a busy person. I run a business. I'm making money. I just don't care about who's running for Court of Criminal Appeals on the Republican ticket. I don't keep up with it, so I'm just not going to vote. And he's running for United States Senate. But he is, I mean, it's not like he's in an island to his own. He's not by himself there. There's a lot of people that are that way. So until you get more people interested and more people would buy into what happens at this level of government, it's just going to be an afterthought. We're just going to talk about it in these terms like it's a fun civic exercise or something. I don't know. And it's fun talk radio fodder for guys like Jeff Poore, I guess. We're just not going to participate in the process, and that way, these guys in Montgomery, kind of aware of this, they got a little longer leash to get away with more. That the public gets upset about something, Well, what does that mean? Where we go from 35% turnout to 37% turnout? Is that going to impact my race? Probably not. Some it may. We had some close races. And Tom Watley, some others that were real, real close in the primary. But just this low turnout, at the primary level in a one-party state takes away the incentives to get things that you want, John. And that's the issue here. He writes, Alabama is the most backward state in the nation. I vote for whoever is likely to change that. Alabama does a lot of things right, John. They don't try to recreate. They don't try to. They're not trying to re-engineer society or anything like that. So Alabama does a good job at that. Better late than never. Sitting down with us here, just got a few more minutes left in the program, but State Representative Mark Shirey here with us. Representative, glad you make it. How are you?
I am running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Well, I know.
And I apologize.
That's all right. What you been up to today?
Well, we had a health care committee meeting with a comment.
It drags out. I understand. I know how this works, and things can get tied up. But health committee, that's really where your expertise lies. What are the pressing issues of the state House Health Committee?
Well, there were a lot of issues today. We had some teledentistry bill, we had some pharmacy bills, and we had a cannabis bill that we can't sell these.
Oh, this is like the Delta 9 and all that.
Delta 9, Delta 8 to children.
What do you think that? That's a no-brainer, right?
You would think, but it had some tax issues in it, so we had to completely rework the bill and get those taxes out of there so that we could actually go through the Senate.
Such is the complicated nature of Montgomery. I guess whenever I think of health committee issues, this is kind of impromptu discussion, but looking at the state health office, is that something you think you guys are going to tackle this year?
Well, we did have a public hearing on some things that involved the Alabama Department of Public Health last time. That was that was an interesting meeting also. We didn't vote on any bills, but I think there'll be some things.
There's a lot of strong emotions about how that office ought to be. It's gotten a lot of spotlight because of COVID and the powers and state health officer. People weren't aware of it. But there are a lot of people that think we got to keep the status quo because you don't need politics intermingled with health. And then there's people that think, well, we can sit in the governed and this, we don't need a runaway health office. There's got to be a balance, right?
I think you have to have someone elected that has some accountability to have that
elected
kind of power.
What do you say about like governor appointment confirmed by the Senate? Would that be acceptable?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So then that gives the public some buy-in. And it also, at least there's an elected official that could be accountable if it does get off the rails, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Well, that's good to hear. Well, let's talk about a few other things. You had just a few minutes here before we go to the break, but I guess you're watching what's going on. The big news. A lot of people here because of school choice, but that probably won't get to the House for a long time. Grocery tax. I assume you're watching that discussion. What do you think?
Absolutely. So some of the newer ideas that are coming up is an incremental decrease in the grocery tax. I think that's a really, really good idea. I want to watch that bill really closely. Anytime we can cut taxes, I'm all for it. But I also don't want to destroy your budgets and be good stewards of our money.
Yeah, so it sounds like you can kind of stair-step it down, and if things get a little too, you know, we don't put ourselves vulnerable to proration or whatever, right?
That's absolutely correct. I said our money. I meant the people's money.
Right. Mobile issues. As always, Mobile County's got its own set of circumstances you guys got to deal with. What are you looking at? I mean, this is obviously a new experience for you being in the legislature, but talk to us a little bit about that.
So far as far as local bills, we don't have anything that's pressing right now that I'm aware of.
Yeah,
that's come through yet.
Well, it's it will inevitably. I'm sure, but you know. I don't know what this has been your experience, but, you know, state politics, and you look at this, how they pertain to Mobile, what impacts our listing area. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't really think Montgomery. They think coastal, right? But what you got to do here is make sure Montgomery doesn't overreach or something and leave us out of the discussion.
That's always the fight to get our fair share, even though we're contributing probably about 60-65% of the entire general fund budget with their tourism dollars.
Let's say we getting the fair share. It's like sometimes they'll pass a law, and it's meant to do something for Montgomery, Birmingham, or Huntsville. Forget about Mobile. We don't get, but that law still impacts us, and it can be detrimental. You know, so it's like this is a very diverse state. It is 67 counties and. There's a lot of different things going on that could really change things, but that's something to consider.
You really have to live on the coast to understand that we are different, and some laws that will affect like a lake or a river really doesn't apply or can be detrimental to people who live on the coast and our waterways.
Oh, it's like the wake surfing ban.
Absolutely.
Last year, and Senator Wagner tried to get that, Senator Gutcher tried to get that done, and people didn't want that on the coast because we don't have those same issues here that they do at the lakes and the lakes, right?
That's correct. That's where communication comes in. When you got a bill like that, you need to talk to everyone with a waterway. And that's the key here. It's just communication and relationships.
Hey, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Man again. Or I may simply be a single drop of rain.
Folks said that I would change my mind. I'd straighten up and do just fine. Ah, but I still love rock and roll. I keep on rolling.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Just a few more minutes here remaining. Real quick programming note. Following this program, Midday Mobile, Sean Sullivan. Right where I'm sitting. We'll be here at State House. He's over there warming up in the bullpen, getting ready for his, which is a far superior product to what you've been listening to for the last 3 hours. But he'll be with you, and he's got just a packed guest list, so make sure you stick around for that. But right now, we got just a few more minutes with State Representative Mark Shirey here on the program. Representative, like I said, we don't have very much time here, but freshman lawmaker, how's it going so far? I mean, we're about to the halfway point.
We're just past the halfway mark. I'm trying to learn as much as I can to be as effective as I can and make, like I said, we talked about relationships earlier, and that's exactly what I'm doing now.
Anything different about this job that you thought going into it that I expected this to go different, but this is how this works.
Well, some of the things I was surprised about is, you know, you look at the politicians on Goat Hill and you think, oh, those are a bunch of crooks up there. There's some really, really good people here that I think really have their heart in the right place and are trying to do the best thing for Alabama.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they got good intentions, and they, you know, maybe you come into it a little naive about how things work because this is a complicated system and, you know, you got people that are influencing other people, and who's, you know, everybody trying to grab your ear in the hallway. We were talking about that. But that seems to be where a lot of the learning goes on.
Oh, absolutely. We're taught every day by the people who either contact us by email or phones. Everyone has a different opinion and a different view on things, and it's incredible to look at something from a different side and say, wait, I never thought about that.
Well, I tell you what's surprising to me about this session. It's just the near unanimity, especially in your chamber, but the Senate as well. But there seems to be, there's no party line division on a lot of things. That everybody kind of approaches things pragmatically, and a lot of bills are getting passed that way. It's viewed in that sort of realm that let's get as much as we can that doesn't really divide us.
You're correct. We moved a lot of bills yesterday. Yesterday, I brought my First Amendment to the floor, and passed it 105-0.
So that's exactly
what you're saying.
You know, people are used to Washington and that drama. You don't have that. You don't have that kind of drama in Montgomery. Representative, we're out of time. My show is the closing song is playing. So thanks for stopping by.
Absolutely, but taco burgers rock.
Taco Casa is overrated.
Have you ever eaten there?
Several times, drunk and sober, last week. Anyway, I got to get out of here. It has been a pleasure. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Ford Show on FM Talk 106.5.